Welcome back. This is the second hour of Spingola Speaks. This is Deanna Spingola. Our guest today is Rodney Martin. He is the director of Worldview Foundations. His website is wvfoundations.org. And we were talking about, a lot of things, particularly about, and you pronounce it the correct way, room. I know the O with those two little dots is usually pronounced like a U, correct?
Well, I was saying before the break, there was two, bear in mind, this is all still Weimar. Hitler is in a coalition government. He is the chancellor under von Hindenburg. There is only three cabinet posts that are National Socialists. And there are two cabinet posts under this arrangement that report directly to the president. That is the foreign minister and the defense minister. So you had a whole bunch of dynamics taking place, and now we're actually right up before Hummingbird is approved and Hitler says, do it. There's, you have the internal strife within the party. Hitler is trying to tell them, we're going to go with evolution. There's not going to be a second revolution. He's telling Röhm he's not going to be the defense minister. The SA is not going to be the German army. And Röhm, they're not going to accept it. And so we have three things happening. You have the defense minister going to the president saying, Röhm is sending me a directive essentially saying that the SA is going to be the army and the army is going to train the SA. And Hindenburg sees that point blank as an attempted coup and as treason. Then you have situations where you have the foreign minister reporting to the president that stormtroopers are beating up foreign diplomats on the streets of Berlin. That mortified the president. The president calls in the chancellor, Hitler, and tells him he needs to do something about this activity or he is going to declare martial law. Under martial law, the president supplants the chancellor, runs the country. In fact, you know, essentially there is no chancellor. Hitler is mortified by that. At the same time, you have Victor Lutze, who is the SA leader in, I believe, Hamburg or one of the northwestern provinces, is party to a meeting in which essentially he is under, you know, Röhm and some of the upper echelon SA leaders are saying there's going to be a second revolution with or without Adolf. And he reports that to, he reported that, I believe, to Göring and to Hitler. And then Hitler is informed of it. And that is where Hummingbird happens. Now, what does that mean? There's going to be a second revolution with or without Hitler. That is open to conjecture. But, you know, Victor Lutze writes that in a memorandum immediately. He recorded it immediately to Göring and Hitler. He is summoned to report that directly to Hitler. And the three things, those are the three events that essentially trigger Hummingbird. You have the foreign minister reporting that, you know, the SA is out of control in the streets of Berlin, beating up diplomats. You have von Blumberg reporting to the president that Röhm is essentially wanting to supplant the German army, and there's only 100,000 German army troops as opposed to 3 million SA, and then you actually have Hitler being informed that there's going to be a second revolution with or without Adolf. So there was a legitimate legal basis, and we'll get to that after. So the Hummingbird is developed. Hitler, the three main people that actually organized Hummingbird under Hitler's orders was Hermann Göring, Heinrich Himmler, and Reinhard Heydrich. They were the three people that Hitler put in charge to identify who the plotters were and who would have to be arrested and who would have to be executed. Bear in mind, the crime of treason is an offense punishable by execution. So the lists were drawn up. Were there lists as what we would call the conformist historians or the eugenics? Yes, there was. Lists were drawn up. And they were approved. They were run by the Ministry of Justice, the Interior Ministry, who ran the Ministry of Justice, Wilhelm Frick. He approved it. It was all done through the legal process. And anyway...
Okay, Rodney, we got to stop for a commercial break. We will be right back.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. TerraVim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from TerraVim? Simple. TerraVim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to TerraVim.com. That's TerraVim.com. TerraVim, the best supplements on earth.
Hey there, my name is Frank Bates. What I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds could get me in a lot of trouble. I just created a free video presentation at 123crooks.com that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they really are. Incompetent, lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up. And you'll be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. My video at 123crooks.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret of how I beat them and how you can beat them too. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123crooks.com and discover one weird trick to slash your power bill and protect your home. Go watch my video now at 123crooks.com before they force me to shut it down. 123crooks.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Rodney Martin, the director of Worldview Foundations, whose website is wvfoundations.org. And we had a quote in the chat room. I don't know whether you saw that quote.
Oh, I must have missed it. It's been going pretty quick.
It was at Bad Wheezy. Hitler personally placed Rome and other high-ranking SA leaders under arrest. According to Eric Kempka, one of the men present during the raid, Hitler turned room. Okay, I'll say it right. Over to two detectives holding pistols with the safety catch removed, and the SS found Breslau, SA leader Edmund Heinz, in bed with an unidentified 18-year-old male, SA senior troop leader. Goebbels emphasized the latter in subsequent propaganda, justifying the purge as a crackdown on moral turpitude. Both Heinz and his partner were shot on the spot in the hotel grounds on the personal order of Hitler. Meanwhile, the SS arrested a number of SA leaders as they departed their train for a planned meeting with Röhm. I'm not sure what book that came out of. Okay, Richard Evans, The Coming of the Third Reich. It was published by Penguin Group in New York.
Okay, Richard Evans was wrong. There was nobody shot at Bad Wannsee. They were all loaded into trucks, and they were taken off. I'm going to get there. And let me just finish with
Go ahead.
Let me get planning, because Evans actually corrected himself. Nobody was shot at the hotel at Bad Bonsai because it was a hotel, it was a public place, plus there were some detailed plans. But let me get back and finish. You know, when Hummingbird was planned, it was, you know, the three main planners was, as I said, Goering, Himmler, and Heydrich, and Rudolf Hess, you know, the deputy Führer. Hitler was the liaison of those three individuals to Hitler. So there was actually four, but Hess was essentially Hitler's liaison. And when those people drew up the list, there was actually, you know, there's been some conjecture that it was a get-even time, and they loaded up the list. And actually, during Hummingbird, there was 80 executions. There has been some conjecture. Oh, there was hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. Actually, there was 80, and people were put on the list. Those lists were then provided to Hess. They went to Hitler, and names were actually Hitler pulled names off the list. And you can kind of envision the dynamic. No, gentlemen, you're getting a little off. You're getting a little off. You know, getting ahead of yourselves here. I mean, that's how I envision it. That's how I envision it. No, because you can just see that the way that he was so, you know, he you know, struggled with the executioner room and then gave him his opportunity to, you know, to commit suicide. But that was how that went down. Room was at Bad Bonsai. He was actually on a holiday. There was even some misstatements that Room was in bed with his chauffeur. That was false. Room had actually had been taken ill. He had seen a doctor the day before and was given some injections, and I can't remember what the actual ailment was. But Room had actually, he had gotten a telephone call from Hitler the day before saying he was coming for a meeting and to assemble his leadership at Bad Bonsai. And so Room had actually prepared a banquet, didn't know that he was going to be arrested. But it was true, Heinz was in bed with an 18-year-old. They were loaded up with trucks. The SS arrived with Hitler. Hitler did tell them they were all going to be arrested. They were marched down, put in trucks, and they were then they took an alternate road than the way that Hitler and the SS arrived, because there was some conjecture or fear that the SA would mount some sort of rescue operation. That did not happen at all. There was never an attempt to rescue these conspirators at all. They were taken to prison. And they were executed, with the exception of Rome. Their shirts were removed. The executioners were given the Mauser rifle. They had a black piece of coal with an X marked on their chest. I'm telling you exactly how it is because I've read the archive reports. They were marched into these rooms, and with X was marked with a piece of coal across their chest, and they were shot as traitors without their SA uniform on. And in some cases, they were confused. They didn't know what was happened to them. But all of them were shot at the prison yard. They were not shot in the parking lot of a public hotel, because the idea of Operation Hummingbird was that this would happen quick, and they would be taken to prison, the secure area, rather quick, and the whole operation would be over within about 48, more later than 72 hours. And it was over within about 48 hours. The only person that wasn't shot in prison was basically about three or four individuals. General von Schleicher was shot, and von Kahr was shot at their homes. And unfortunately, Schleicher's wife was shot in the kitchen as well, but she was probably shot in crossfire because she got in the way of von Schleicher. And there was a conjecture that the army would have some sort of great, you know, would be upset over von Schleicher, having been a general in the Reichswehr and the former Imperial Army, and having been a former chancellor. There was no great outcry over that as well, because he had been very devious and had been plotting as well. Von Kahr had been plotting. You know, he had been engaged in some of the activities in the 23 putsch. And you can make the case that was some payback as well. He had been plotting against the new government, since it came to power on January the 30th as well. But all told, there wasn't hundreds and hundreds of people executed in Operation Hummingbird. There was about 83. Now, I think it's important to note that, this was all done under Weimar. This was the Weimar government. The courts were Weimar. The justice minister was the Reich justice minister was a gentleman by the name of Franz Gürtner. And he had previously been the Bavarian justice minister. And he actually drafted the legal opinion that said that it was actually it was a legal act in defense of the German state. Wilhelm Frick. Now, Wilhelm Frick was a National Socialist, and he was the Interior Minister, and he actually he codified it as well. And of course, the army unanimously applauded the action because they were aware what was going on as well. And President von Hindenburg personally sent a telegram. His words were expressing profound gratitude, and he congratulated Chancellor Hitler for nipping the treason in the bud and considered it a preemptive action in defense of the German nation. All of this is documented. All of this is documented. And yet, years after the war, the German vassal state, the occupation government, ignored all of the records and went back and started, even after some of these people were aged and, you know, may have served time for, you know, prison time for being in the German military, such, they went back and held trials on some of the German policemen and prison guards and such for engaging in Operation Hummingbird, even though the Weimar government at the time, the Weimar was the government, the Weimar justice minister had said all of the actions were legal and that this was a preemptive action against acts of treason.
Okay, well, thank you so much for explaining that.
So, well, anyway, if anybody has any calls or questions on what people call the Night of the Long Knives, what I call the Room Blitz or the or Operation Hummingbird, be happy to take those. And we have some time left. I think we have about 40 minutes or 45 minutes. I can go into Rosenberg's essay on July 28, 1921, entitled National Socialism.
Right. Okay. So any callers, please call 800-313-9443. Okay, let's talk about real, that essay.
Real quick, Deanna, let me wrap up on Operation Hummingbird. Röhm was taken to Stadelheim prison. Maybe it was Stadelheim prison. I think, yeah, it was Stadelheim prison. And he was in prison. He was in a cell, and he was not executed immediately. All the other prisoners were executed almost immediately upon taken there, you know, within the next day or so. But Hitler had given specific orders. He was in jail, and he was vacillating. And Goebbels and Goering, they were saying, you know, it's time. And Hitler just vacillated. There was some thinking. Röhm had come back from Bolivia, I think. He had been serving in Bolivia as a military advisor when Hitler had him come back to be the SA chief of staff. He had been he had been involved in the party, then had left for a time, and then Hitler asked him to come back and be the SA chief of staff after that Stennis uprising. Well, anyway, finally, it was Hitler's decision, you know, because they brought up the fact that, you know, von Hindenburg, you know, would not stand for him to, and in the army, and everybody would not stand to have a person that was basically pushing for another revolution to go free while all the other ones had been executed. So it was Hitler's call to basically give him the opportunity to choose the honorable death to commit suicide. And so they went in and they gave him two things placed in his cell. And Röhm was allowed to retain his uniform. He was in jail in his SA uniform. When Röhm was arrested, he was allowed to dress fully in his SA uniform. And he was in jail in Stadelheim prison with his uniform. But it was placed in a newspaper that explained that the Röhm putsch had been put down. The traitors had been arrested and had been executed, and he was given a pistol with a single cartridge. And he declined. He was allowed to sit in there 10 or 15 minutes. And when he didn't, Theodor Eicke, who would, you know, come down to Dachau, went in and shot him.
So, you know, it's very interesting. In this country, treasonous acts are usually rewarded by a higher political office, or they're just people view them as something different. Oh, that person just has a different point of view. It's ridiculous. We do have to take a break. We will be right back in 3 minutes.
Would you like to reclaim lost health? Are supplements only getting you so far? Hey, folks, my name is Franklin. I had a heart attack in 2006 that left me with a damaged valve, working at only 20% capacity and odds against being here now. Then I found RNA Drops, a patented completement formula that creates perfect cells in your body. My perfect cells helped me to regain heart function and more. What could your body do with perfect cells? For a limited time, you can find out for free. Go to franklinsrnadrops.com and get a free mini bottle, valued at $50 on its way. Just pay shipping and handling. While you're there, you can view our growing line of products and hear amazing stories of what these products have done for others. My story is there as well. That's franklinsrnadrops.com. Start reclaiming your health today by giving your body what it needs. I cannot wait to hear what your perfect cells are doing for you. Thank you.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of micro plant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, Microplant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Are you prepared? Are you ready? You should be. CampingSurvival.com is your source for camping supplies, survival gear, and survival food. Whether you are an emergency preparedness-minded individual interested in MRE and colloidal silver, a hardcore hiker in need of paracord, a water filter system, and fire piston, or just need a basic first aid kit or emergency kit for the family, CampingSurvival.com is the right place. Call CampingSurvival.com today. Toll free 800-537-1339. CampingSurvival.com. It's not about the end of the world. It's not about surviving a hypothetical plane crash. It's about the satisfaction you get knowing you can take care of yourself and or your family in any situation, anytime, anywhere. Call now 800-537-1339.
Our guest today is Rodney Martin. His website is wvfoundations.org. All righty. And we will take your calls at 800-313-9443. And I mentioned just before going to the break that we really don't consider treason anymore, even if you're looking at a dual citizenship issue or anything else. It's quite all right to favor some country that's exploiting you, and it's all right. In fact, you can even get a government position if you have dual citizenship. Maybe it's a prerequisite.
Look at it here in the United States, Deanna, with the Pollard case. He was caught red-handed, sending U.S. secrets to Israel, and he's not the only one. There's been several Jews that have been sending secrets, spying on the United States. I mean, Israel is the only country that we give U.S. billions to, and they spy on us. I mean, does that make sense? But here you have this case where Pollard was caught doing severe damage, and he's given a life sentence rather than execution. And there is this push to compassionately release him. I mean, at least we got it right with the Rosenbergs, and we executed both of them. We got those right. But I mean,
look how many years ago that was. I mean, we quit doing stuff like that several decades ago.
When was the last time that we actually did an execution for treason? Wasn't Rosenberg's the last time?
I think it was.
was the last time? And it was interesting. My teenage son is the one that told me that not too terribly long ago. He said, Dad, the Rosenbergs were the last time we executed anybody for treason. And I was proud that he brought that to my attention. And I think he's absolutely correct. I haven't had a chance to look it up yet because I've been really busy, but I think he's absolutely correct. Why is it that you can be a traitor to your country and we just give you a glorified vacation to Club Fed, and then there's this absolute pressure? Not only is there pressure from within our own country, from so-called citizens of our own country, to release this individual, but the country from who the work was done, the spying was done, is urging, spending money, lobbying in our country to release them, probably using our own dollars, because we send U.S. aid to Israel. They then spend dollars lobbying us to release them. How do we,
It's ridiculous. The Rosenbergs were executed on June 19th, 1953. And I believe that was the last two people who were executed.
For treason, I believe
right.
That is.
Yes.
And there's been several. I mean, there's been a plethora of treason prosecutions since 1953. So, let me get into the National Socialism. It's a short essay, and I think we can wrap up the program. We got about a half an hour left. Rosenberg wrote this essay in the party newspaper, the Volksschau Bulletin, on July 28, 1921, called National Socialism. It's real brief. I'm not going to read it, completely, but there's some great highlights. He opens it by saying, "On a mountain, the knight with his serfs built a defiant castle. Around this, collected protection-seeking settlers, houses were built, ramparts and walls were erected, graves dug. There existed a community between knights and citizens, individuality and a common life. For the complex of small houses, there struggles up the sky-grazing cathedral. A great artist has designated it. Thousands have cut out the stones. Hundreds of thousands have offered values for it, and then performed worship, personality, and racial soul." Now, note all through when Rosenberg is talking about National Socialism, he has drawn a contrast. He's clearly distinguishing between Marxist socialism, socialism of the left, and National Socialism, and he is clearly defining the racial concept, why race is important, and the difference between National Socialism, socialism, and National Socialism, and the racial component, and the Judeo-Marxism. He says, now here's the important part of this essay. "There have been class wars so far as we can follow history into the past. Already many nations have perished in them. There have been class wars even in the German past, and they will also not disappear in the future. That in general there exists war is not a misfortune, but in the observation of a phenomenon of life, it is also a matter of our spiritual attitude to it. If we acknowledge a nation as something corporeal, then we shall attempt not to strengthen artificially the natural battle of individual parts of the same, but to give it forms which breed and fortify each of the parts more highly. If I take a stand only on immediate goals of one of the battling parts, then before long a sickening of the whole must set, which weakness of the body and indeed can cause its death." He's talking about the whole. He's just talking about the whole. He then goes on the next page of the essay, and he gets into there's a following line here. He says, "It is not the fault of the worker if he lay under the seductive enticements of the disintegrating Jewry. It is the fault of the German intelligentsia." He says, we should know better. And we should know better. We talked about this in prior shows. I mean, that is an incredible line. It is not the fault of the worker if he lays under the seductive enticements of a disintegrating Jewry. It is the fault of the German intelligentsia. But how we apply that to what I call Weimar America today, our educated Americans, what I would call educated whites, we should know better. We should be calling out the Jew when they are actually persuading and they're taking advantage and they're rape, robbing, and pillaging what we would call our less fortunate people.
Exactly. All righty, we are going to a break. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
Your are listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
An effective, 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available to be shipped out to you, rush delivery. Heart and Body Extract is a 100% natural, organic, and wild-crafted formula made out of garlic, hawthorn berries, hawthorn leaves, coleus, motherwort, bilberry, butcher's broom kelp, mistletoe, ginger, and cayenne pepper. It is an excellent formula designed to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Order your 2-month supply by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. Take the high road to a long and happy life. Heartandbody.com.
Chlorine, fluoride, pathogens, and more are in the water you drink day to day. Do you want the ability to remove and reduce those harmful things in the water you drink? You can. How? With a Berkey water filter. A complete standalone gravity filter system that requires no electricity and no plumbing. Use for emergencies or for every day. Berkey systems come in 7 different sizes. Where can you get one? From GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com. With the purchase of each system, you get 50% off accessories, such as fluoride filters, water level spigot, and sport bottles. Plus, free shipping on all orders over $25. For a limited time, get 5% off all ceramic systems when you use coupon code RBN. Call GetBerkey at 855-GetBerkey. That's 855-438-2375. Or visit GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you have the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a 1-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Seed Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tatler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
This is Deanna, and our guest today is Rodney Martin. He is the director of Worldview Foundations. His website is wvfoundations.org, and we will take your calls at 800-313-9443.
Going on in the essay, Deanna Rosenberg further writes, he says, intellectual nature alienated scholars studied with a blue pen in their hand. The thick writings of Marx and comrades drew connecting lines between their nebulous ways of speech. Kant and Goethe in Indian philosophy drew the arisen Jewish genie from the bottle and made Marxism socially feasible. Other professors, and not seldom Lutheran pastors, had their mastership of lodges. And let me tell you, this essay kind of goes, there was a debate in your chat room about paganism versus Christianity and such. Let me state here just for a minute. There were some factions within the NSDAP. There was clearly some those that had a line of thinking that Germany should return to its pagan traditions. Rosenberg was one of them. Rosenberg was not a fan of traditional Christianity by any means, and neither was Martin Bormann, and neither was Heinrich Himmler. Rosenberg just wrote about it. If you read his book, Myth of the 20th Century, you can clearly ascertain his positions. on it. Now, that was not the overall thinking of the National Socialist in total, National Socialist Party, or the majority of the National Socialists by any means. But there clearly was a segment of thinkers within the National Socialist Party that wanted to embrace the former traditions of the former pagan traditions, and that was clearly anti-Christian. Rosenberg was one of them, and he was a prolific thinker, a great philosopher, and you're going to see this in his writings. Great parts of the German people who had to recognize the growing process let themselves be embittered by the enormous Marxist propaganda and strengthened at the same time their class standpoint. That's an important sentence, Deanna, because we see that this day, today. We see how in Weimar America, how people have bought in to this Marxist line of thinking. And we've seen that in 2012. Have we seen people that once considered themselves what we would call God-fearing, you know, Christian conservatives, got a taste of the Marxist welfare, and look what's happening to the nation? He goes on and he writes, the misfortune came, and therewith the bitter disappointment. Nothing is more unjust to us than the complacent feeling of the German nationalists that the workers had seen into the stupidity of the internationalism and become finally partially reasonable. Now, there we go. You know, this internationalism. You know, we've had this thinking about being internationalists, you know, and that goes along with the United States being completely international, the free trades, you know, the free trade. It's the same playbook. They do the same thing. They were doing the same thing in Weimar Germany back then. They're doing in Weimar America today. We must be internationalists. It's just a really interesting dynamic, and people, a large segment of people, were buying into it. Have they considered the worker as an equally valuable comrade, of the people, or have they not all too often evaluated him as a man of second or third rank? Have at least in their own class represented the worth, or their people strictly, or have they not married daughters of Jewish bankers and infected German culture? Now there, that is an important statement where he's going in, and he's going to go in here as we go into the last few paragraphs of this essay, where he's talking about the infection of culture, the infection of the economic system, and of course the infection of the political system. And that's the three primary elements that's used. You infect the culture, you infect the political system, and you infect the economic system. He goes on, the recognition of their guilt with regard to the German people has come to many individuals among the conservatives, but by no means the national parties. They are characterized even today in contrast to the socialist as bourgeois and the attempts of the German nationalists to win the workers through their pair of old master bakers is a hopeless undertaking, so long as German conservatism does not lay aside publicly and honestly an admission of war guilt. He's going back to the debate after the war, after World War One. But we see a little bit, we see some of that in the United States today. You have this situation between what we call the conservatives and, of course, the liberals, which are essentially socialists, the Democrats. And now you're seeing this big fight over what happened in 2012. You have this big schism now in the Republican Party, or what they, I guess they call themselves conservatives. Now they're having to debate that they need to be more liberal, that they have to embrace more multiculturalism, that they have to brown their party more, that they have to just give up on preserving the traditional cultures and values that was the United States and go be Democrat-like. You watch what's going to happen in the quote-unquote Republican Party between 2012 and the next, say, election cycle, the midterm election cycle, and particularly the next presidential election cycle. You will have essentially one party. We already have essentially one party.
They just attack each other in order to keep us divided and fighting, and it's rather ridiculous.
You're gonna have essentially multiculturalism on steroids. I mean, you already have a situation where there's not gonna be the traditional Gerber baby anymore. Gerber, now as far as you're essentially gonna have all brown candidates, you're gonna have nothing protecting the interests of the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. And, you know, whether people want to accept it or not, we're still the majority here. It is still essentially a white Anglo-Saxon nation. And something needs to be done in short order, or we are going to be a third world nation. And the National Socialists recognized that, and this is what some of the things that Rosenberg was writing about in his essays. He saw what the Marxists and the Jews were doing when they created this Weimar thing in 1921. He saw the larger influx. He saw the multiculturalism, and the National Socialists saw that, and they were the ones that began to push back. Initially, he goes on in his essay, and he says, as social democracy, so too the conservatives have to drag a hard chain of class tradition. They have lost the justification to be leaders. They must first win that. And he's absolutely correct. Both these, you know, is this political system in Weimar America? You know, neither one of these Democrats or Republicans, they don't have any justification to be my leader, and I don't think they have the justification to be a leader of anybody in the truth movement, or the justification to be a leader of anybody that is committed to white Western Christian tradition, or even, since we've had a pagan debate, to be a leader of anybody of pagan belief either. These Democrats and Republicans are running to be champions of multicultural third worldism. And I've been writing about that in some of my guest editorials I've been sending to my community paper of recent. And I finally had somebody write me and says, what is third worldism? And I tell them, look around you.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that is an issue that I've also talked to people about. And they act like they don't know anything about it. They've just accepted it gradually. And really don't give it that much thought.
If you look at what the Rosenberg, and there's a few more, just a couple more paragraphs in this essay, and then I want to spend just the last 5 minutes going back to what we talked about, Operation Hummingbird. Is there something I missed that's important? The National Socialists, if you read their essays and what they were like, because they were a party of thinkers, you know, they were really a party. They saw the potential, and they saw what Europe is today. They saw that coming. They saw what the Jews and the multiculturalists had in mind when they created the Weimar Republic. They saw the decadent culture. You know, they saw, you know, there was this population in the Rhineland of mixed breed, half black, half Germans in the Rhineland that were a result of interbreeding during the French occupation. The French set in black Moroccan troops to occupy the Rhineland. And they interbred with German women, and they had these half-black mulatto children. And that mortified traditional Germans. And they used to be, Hitler referred to them as the black bastards of the Rhineland. And anyway, they saw that, and they said, you know, this could happen on a much larger scale if these Weimar Jews have their way, because they were, you know, those black bastards of the Rhineland, as Hitler put on pedestals, as the future. And then, of course, you know, Jews were talking about, the mixing of the races from everybody but themselves. So they envisioned, they saw what Europe is today. They saw that as a threat. They saw protecting, you know, having a Germany for Germans. They saw that as a great danger. And you see this in Rosenberg's essays. Anyway, he goes on and he says, for this reason. Is a new movement. Now here's, he's getting into actual National Socialism. For this reason is a new movement necessary, which considers the entire German people as an indissoluble unity, which does not recognize any class oppositions within the people, for which the national is point of departure and final goal, which strives for a natural economic order in place of the present day parasitical alien blood sucking. That is a powerful statement. It is a powerful statement because it recognizes what was happening to Germany at the time. And I'll tell you, Deanna, it recognizes what is happening to Weimar America today.
Oh, exactly.
The union of all truly creative persons, whether working student, officer, bureaucrat, artist, or scholar of German blood. Now, the operative statement in there is of German blood and of spirit. The collecting together of all active, daring warriors for a great Germany from all strata of the German people, that today is called National Socialism. Now, when people ask me, they'll email me or sometimes they'll Skype me and they'll say, what's the difference between national socialism and, you know, communism? They're all talking about workers and all that. I think Rosenberg answered that absolutely, completely right there. He says, the union of all truly creative persons, whether worker, student, officer, and he says truly creative, student, officer, bureaucrat, artist, scholar of German blood. Now, in place of German blood, you can basically, you can say English blood, white Anglo-Saxon Protestant blood. You can substitute what you want there. And he says, of spirit and collecting together of all active, daring warriors for a great Germany from all strata of the German people. That is today called National Socialism. You don't see that in today's, you don't see that ever in the Marxist socialism of the left. Today it was, today and back then, it's all workers unite and everybody is equal. They will tell you that a mentally defective low-grade moron is as equal as the greatest mind that produces and invents things. I mean, that is what they say, and they say that a person that works hard and goes out and does great things, that stuff has to be shared with the 400-pound welfare slug that stays at home at age 50 with mama. I mean, that's the difference. That is not National Socialism is the polar opposite. National Socialism believes in preserving, you know, the bloodlines of the people, and that is important. And let's take that a step further. Our own government believes that. And you want to draw proof is take a look at the federal policy as it relates to what we call American Indians. Federal policy has said that American Indians, and there's federal acts called the Indian Child Welfare Act, that those bloodlines have to be preserved and that they are codified policies for the specific preservation of races. The only race that federal policy says is not worth preserving are white people.
Interesting. I hadn't thought of that before, and I'm well aware of that issue and the government's stance on it.
I will go a step further and say that I would agree with such policies. I will agree that culture should be allowed, and the National Socialists agreed with that as well. They agreed that was their policies. If you look back at the documents they were creating, they were intricately interested in other races and cultures, and believed that, you know, every culture had a right to preserve themselves, but they did not believe that they had a right to assault other races and contaminate and pollute other races, as well as the Jews were doing to Germany and as they continue to do to other nations. But our own government recognizes the importance of preserving race, but they do not believe in preserving all races. And if we're going to and go down that and engage those types of issues, I think we should no longer be afraid to say we recognize our own government's position as to preserving, say, Native Americans' race and culture, and they've codified that in federal policy. So therefore, we stand up and recognize the importance of preserving our own. And in fact, if you go out and look at some of the practices and laws, Native Americans practice the policies where they encourage. They do not encourage interracial marriage because of what it would do to the bloodline. And in some cases, you have some of these concerns where they're worried about bloodlines that would result in the eradication of their race. That's what Rosenberg is writing about here. That's what the National we're concerned with. That is what any race conscious person is concerned about. And I think the time has come for everybody to stand up and say, look, I'm equally concerned about my bloodline as anybody else is, and that does not make race conscience evil.
Right. Okay, we do have some callers.
Okay, let's take some.
All righty, let's take Barry in Massachusetts. Barry, welcome to the program.
Speaking of multiculturalism, I was watching it today.
Oh, hi, Russ. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good.
I was watching the Today Show this morning, and a lady who had just gotten married had designed this extremely expensive wedding dress, and she just wanted to give it away, you know, to somebody. Just, it was one of those touchy-feely stories to make you feel happy. Anyway, So she gave it to another lady, and they were both, you know, white ladies. It just so happened that the lady who was giving away the dress, it showed her with her groom. He was African-American, and the lady she gave the dress to, who is now getting married to an Asian guy. So that's one of the religions in America is multiculturalism. The other one is the worship of the military. In a recent poll, 78% of Americans feel very confident that the U.S. military is doing the right thing. I mean, they don't trust politicians. They get up low approval ratings, but as far as the U.S. military, it's a religion in America, along with multiculturalism.
Indeed. Well, thank you so much for your phone call. We are going to a break. We'll be right back.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Wouldn't you agree? Healthy people are happier and more productive. Obesity is the root cause of many health problems. Do you want to lose weight safely, look sexy and attractive without side effects and no chemicals? Lose weight without the side effects safely with Zeno's Organic Dietary Supplements. Made in the USA, 100% USDA certified organic. Visit www.zenos.com. That's www.zenohs.com. Try our products risk-free for a limited time offer. No purchase necessary. You only pay shipping and handling. Get your old, sexy body back now. Visit Zenos.com. Get your free supplements now. Visit Zenos.com right now. www.zenohs.com. That's www.zenohs.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Been Rodney Martin, and his website is Worldview Foundations, wvfoundations.org. And let's see, Jay, okay. All righty. Did you want to comment on what Russ said?
Well, Yeah, he made some good points, but since we're running low on time, I wanted to follow up and make a final comment on Operation Hummingbird. There has been some thinking among some scholars, and when I say scholars, I consider lay scholars in some cases to be more real than what we would consider the book and intellectual scholars, that Operation Hummingbird was a tragedy in that the SA and some of the folks that were executed in that operation was the last real hope for, say, the German middle class, and that the power elites and special interests actually benefited in that operation. There is some truth to that, and the bigger tragedy is that there couldn't have been some sort of compromise between, say, some of the individuals that were in that room faction and Hitler. But the problem is they just wouldn't compromise. They were unwilling. They really wanted a second revolution, and they actually wanted the end to a significant number of structural structures in Germany and German institutions that Hitler knew that was not beneficial and that would set Germany back. Germany would not have advanced and would not have turned itself around in, say, 36 months as it did had they followed what Röhm and what we call the Strasser and the leftist faction wanted. And Hitler understood that. And, but there is. And I don't think that the middle class suffered any at all. Quite the opposite. Germany had a tremendous turnaround by 1935, early 36, as a result of National Socialist policies. But there has been, I've received emails on that the Operation Hummingbird, that the SA was the last real representation of the German middle class, and that the power elites actually exploited the National Socialist government, and they benefited. Well, actually, everybody benefited in Germany under National Socialism. As you can see, as Rosenberg was writing, National Socialism sought to bring everybody together under one roof, regardless of class. And actually, under National Socialist Germany, everybody benefited together. It is true that probably that particular class or that particular group lost a very strong voice in the government. But then again, if you look where Hitler's beginnings and where he came from, I think that everybody was well represented in the National Socialist government. And the fact that Hitler himself went and spoke to factories, and he never forgot the German worker. And that the tremendous social programs that were put in place for the German worker, I think that the argument that the German middle class suffered or may have lost a strong advocate as a result of Hummingbird, I think that's negated. I think there is some truth to that argument, but I think overall everything worked out, and I think overall it was a tragedy, and I think that I don't think that was a decision that came easy for Hitler. Considering the SA, he always is very fond of the SA. They were the stormtroopers. They were the ones that fought on the street against the communists. And so I'm not convinced that was an easy decision, but I think it was one when faced with the report that he received from Victor Lutze. I think that was the tipping. I think that was the tipping point. Rosenberg concludes.
We're out of time. We will talk with you really soon. Thank you so much for being on the program today. All righty, bye-bye. Talk to you tomorrow.